some movies, even though they're about drama, they come with a whole lot of drama, too. If you haven't seen it yet, the Rust movie, which is the one where the cinematographer, Hala Hutchins, got shot on the set by Alec Baldwin when he had the prop gun.
Yeah.
So they reached a settlement. But the crazy part is that her widower is going to be the executive producer now.
Right. Like I heard they're finishing the project, going back to work, and the movie's going to be released.
Isn't that wild?
It's crazy to me. I mean, I've got two thoughts on it, right? I mean, number one, you know, this is obviously what she was doing for a living. This is what she enjoyed doing. If it's something that he wanted to finish, like kind of in her honor.
Right.
The other thing I'm thinking is there could just be a bunch of curiosity, right? I mean, there's a certain amount of morbid curiosity. People are going to want to see this movie now.
Of course they are. But like to me, all I think about is you're the widower. Obviously, right. You want to make the best movie possible in honor of your wife and you know, and her legacy. But what if the movie's bad?
Well,
what if it's terrible? And like people say, like, it's not a great movie. And then like, I don't know. To me, it seems very dramatic. But there's been a lot of movies in the past that before they were released, there was a lot of drama that went along with them.
I mean, even still, if there's a certain amount of people that are going to show up just to see this movie because they know somebody died or got hurt on set, if somebody's going to make the money, might as well be him, I guess, right?
Right. Like this movie. Remember this?
Welcome to the Victory Project. We're all here because we believe in the mission.
What are we doing?
Changing the world.
What are we doing?
Changing the world.
That's right.
I mean, I don't remember it because I didn't see Don't Worry, Darling, but everybody's talking about how bad it is.
Well,
and there's a lot of drama.
So this is the whole movie. This is the Olivia Wilde movie that she created. And then she left her longtime boyfriend that she has kids with, Jason Sudeikis, to be with Harry Styles.
Right.
And Harry Styles is supposed to be awful in the movie. Like, he can't act at all.
And maybe spit on Chris Pine.
There's so much drama.
Right. Florence Pugh, the actress, wouldn't show up. Right. Everybody's supposed to be mad at each other. Yeah, that's a lot of drama.
But so far, it's done really well at the box office, but part of me wonders, like, how much of that has to do with the fact that it's Harry Styles? So all the One Direction fans, the Harry Styles fans, they all went the first few weeks. Is that going to last? I don't know. Reviews are terrible on it.
Yeah, the curiosity definitely pulls people in either way.
Then there was this movie.
You tried something new?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
How was Atlanta?
Had a few problems ourselves. Some figures didn't add up.
Big deal?
Life or death.
One.
Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. We know the controversy went down there.
I mean,
he had a wife at the beginning of that thing, and when it was over, he had a new wife.
Poor Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Aniston was like, oh, you just landed another movie? Oh, great. What's it called, Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Oh, who's that actress that you're doing it with? Angelina Jolie. Oh, she must be nice. Nope, homewrecker.
Not nice.
Took your husband. And people like couldn't wait to see the movie to see if it was true, to see if the movie was the reason why it broke up the marriage. And it did.
Right. I mean, you watch the movie. There's definitely some scenes you're like, oh, yeah, they were into each other.
And this is a movie that's so spooky that I could never watch it. But it came with a lot of drama, too.
Oh, you creep!
I couldn't have stopped.
It's more like surfing than skating. I wish the rain would stop just once.
Can't rain all the time.
I couldn't watch The Crow.
I know that people have certainly got hurt on other movie sets before, and I'm sure people have lost their life before on movie sets. They are huge productions. But I remember that when Brandon Lee died on the set of The Crow. That was crazy. And certainly it pushed a whole lot of people to go see that movie. They had to finish that movie with a double.
Well, I guess we can probably make a safe bet that a lot of people will go see Rust out of just general curiosity. I just don't know if it feels right. It feels yucky, to be honest. You're probably being tempted right now with all the candy on the shelves. But when should you be buying your Halloween candy? Carly Schildhouse is from CandyUSA.com. Carly, should you buy it now, knowing perfectly well that you're going to shove 27 Snickers in your mouth, or hold off until later in the month?
You know, people really vary as to when they're buying their Halloween candy. Most people, about 65% of Americans, say they buy it sometime in October. 12% of people admit that they wait until the last minute. We've got 18% of people who are buying it in September or earlier.
So you mean I missed the bus?
I bought the largest bag of M&Ms I've ever seen just this past weekend. I think it was Thursday or Friday. It was nearly 40 ounces worth of M&M peanuts, and there's like two handfuls left at this point right now. Bought a big bag of fun-size Snickers. I was like, I'm going to get a jump on it. There are no Snickers left.
Oh, boy.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, most Americans, more than 80% of Americans, admit that they get a little pre-Halloween head start on enjoying the treats they buy for trick-or-treaters.
Well, that's why I'm a last-minute person. Like, I go to Costco, I buy the giant bags, and I keep them hidden in my house because I know the minute that I open one, even a little bit, just to take one out, it's like a free-for-all, and all of us are going to have our hands in there, and I'm going to be out one giant bag of candy come Halloween.
You know, however you buy it, though, I think I need to share that on average, Americans enjoy chocolate and candy about 2 to 3 times per week. And that includes these special, exciting candy moments like the Halloween season.
Carly, from the National Confectioners Association, which is the most legit candy organization on earth, how do you feel about fun size? Do you think fun size is actually fun size, or do you think that only God's chosen people give away full-size bars that are awesome?
Yeah, fun size is sad size.
Chocolate and candy companies are really meeting consumers where they want to be met, and that's perfect for the Halloween season. So the number we have is 85% of chocolate and candy sold today comes in packaging that contains 200 calories or less per pack. That includes those individually wrapped products or the multi-packs that contain smaller packages inside, like those fun size treats. So people are excited about the ability to have that option.
We know that's nonsense.
What do you give out at your house? Why are you avoiding the question?
I love giving out fun size treats. I sometimes will put together those little like goodie bags with one or two pieces of fun size candy. But I'm fun size all the way.
If you put 5 pieces of candy in there, we know what you're doing. You're making a regular. You're forming Voltron to have a regular size candy bar. I mean, you know what we got to do, Anna? We just got to get rid of math. Get rid of math. Then nobody will have this counting thing going on. It will be fine.
But I do understand, like, okay, I want a little bit of a Kit Kat. I want a little bit of a Snickers. I want a little bit of a Crunch Bar. And I can put them all together. And I didn't just have 7,000 calories. I just had 1,000, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that Snickers always seems to be a favorite, but I'm in a no-nut house. So what are the most popular Halloween treats that are given out this year?
You've got a lot of great options, as always, during the Halloween season. Chocolate comes in at number one, probably no surprise. Number two is the Ever Devices candy corn, which I happen to love. And then the third is gummy candy.
How about those popcorn balls?
Can't say I'm familiar, but it could be a great thing to hand out.
It's because nobody likes the popcorn balls. They use them as weapons when you give them out. It's true. You got to Google it, Carly. Look it up.
You happen to actually eat it, you'll be picking it out of your teeth for days.
All right, Carly Childs, CandyUSA.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And again, happy Halloween season.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy? This is your chance just to get it all off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. Heather, that's all I need to know about you.
People who drag their feet when they walk. That's all I need to know about you.
Are there any exceptions? I mean, first off, the guy with the
lamp.
No. What about the guy with the lamp?
No.
What if I got a busted ACL or something? Come on. All right.
Yes. If you have a physical injury, that you cannot lift your feet.
All right. How about boots? Big boots. Guys, work boots. All right.
Kanye West, he's got those big boots that he wears now. Have you seen those rubber giant boots? He drags them around, and I just don't understand. I mean, I don't understand him at all, but just in general, like, why would you wear shoes that are so heavy that they drag? But I feel like a lot of kids do this too, right? They drag their feet when they walk.
Well, I mean, they see other people doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is how cool people walk. This is how I show you. I could care less about what it is that you're telling me. This is my rebellious phase, dragging my feet.
I will say adults should pick up their feet when they walk. You should not drag your feet if you're an adult.
I'll also say, as far as rebellious activities, dragging your feet is probably low on the scale, and I'll take that over some of the other things that they might do.
I'll agree with that. I'll sign off on that.
Keith, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
I've noticed my whole life, and it's just starting to hit me more, but there are people who let people, family members, friends, whoever, sit in the flatbed of their pickup truck on the highway. Once I see that, I'm like, okay, that's all I need to know about you, man.
I remember being a kid in the 80s and the early 90s. My dad always had pickup trucks, and we always got to go in the back. And yeah. I used to love it. And now I think back on that, and I'm like, I can't believe we did that and didn't go to jail, right?
Well, now, around here, it's illegal. I mean, I don't know if it's national or whatever. Probably not, I guess. Different places got different rules, but Around here, you can't do that now. Definitely get reckless driving on that, endangering a minor, too. If you had your kids back there, forget it.
I always get nervous when I see the dogs in the back.
Yes.
Because I'm like, how do you know your dog's not going to jump out or something? I don't know.
I mean, even if you got them tied, what if you got to stop real fast, right?
Yeah. Pamela, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're an adult and you swear in front of kids that aren't your own, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, that ain't classy.
Nope. So not only is it not classy, but it makes everybody feel uncomfortable.
I mean, if you do it, one slips out and you apologize and then you don't do it again. Okay, I'll forgive you. Some people just swear.
You ever go to like a restaurant or a store and there's like the people that are so loud swearing next to you. And
yes.
It's just like, you don't say anything because you don't want to engage. But it's also like, gosh, have some manners.
Yeah.
Like, look around. Understand where you are. Have some kind of common courtesy.
No, you're right. It's the same thing with the person that's on the loudspeakerphone. And that person is just talking whatever nonsense, you know?
Yep.
My favorite is the person who's swearing while on the speakerphone, while in public. That's my bet. It's like the Wonder Twin powers activated. It's everything that I hate.
Just when you thought you heard absolutely every rumor about Tom Brady and Giselle and the divorce and what's happening, and she cursed him with the season because they're getting a divorce and he unretired, you hear something else that's pretty wacky, Raven. This is an interview that Tom Brady gave back in 2019. Here's what he said.
So she put together a little altar for me that I could bring with pictures of my kids. And I have these little special stones and healing stones and protection stones. And she has me wear a necklace and take these drops she makes. And I say all these mantras.
He's basically alluding to the fact that his wife could possibly be doing some kind of sorcery.
Whenever I hear altar, right, when I hear an altar, you know, and I know like in some religions, it's a thing. You're supposed to have one in your house and you pray to those things. It's kind of like a vision board. It's not all that crazy, but it just sounds crazy.
Right. Well, then he takes it one step further. Not only does she have him do all these things with the altar.
I love the drinking of the potion.
Right.
Taking the drops.
About 4 years ago, we were playing the Seahawks, and she said, you better listen to me. This is your year, but this is all the things you're going to have to do to win. And I did all those things, and by God, you know, it worked. It was pretty good. And then in 2015, it was about early January, and she said, you know how much I love you? And I said, yeah. And she said, I just want to let you know this is not going to be your year.
Oh. Wow.
Giselle told him when he was going to win and when he wasn't going to win.
Yeah, well, that's a lot.
But it goes one step further, Raven.
Yeah.
She said, you're lucky you married a witch. I'm just a good witch.
Wow.
Everybody's laughing. They're not laughing now.
Right.
They're like, wait a minute. Nope. Giselle's a witch.
Maybe that's why she's so mad is because she knows like there's not a lot of victories coming up. I think it's probably more than that.
I think she's mad because he promised her he was going to retire and spend time with the family.
Yeah.
Got a $5 billion deal with Fox News to be an anchor and then decided to go back to work on the field.
Yeah.
Imagine if you could actually cast a spell and it come true. Like a witch once gave me a magic stone, and I have that magic stone. And every once in a while, I put it in my hands and I do like she taught me. I rub it in between my hands to get the heat from it. And then I repeat three times what I want to happen. And I mean, I don't know if it works all the time, but it's been somewhat successful.
Yeah.
But if you could cast a spell right now, Raven, what would it be?
Well, you know me, I some people will be like, I want, you know, fame or money or whatever. With me, I just want something that nobody else has got, because then I figure I can work the other things out, right? So if I can cast a spell that'll, you know, give me some sort of power or whatever, I want to fly. Again, I'm just going with flight or invisibility.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
That's what you want?
Yes, why not? I mean, they're both good things. Like, if I can fly, I can rob the bank.
Okay.
If I'm invisible, then I can rob the bank.
If you can cast a spell, why don't you just ask for money instead of robbing banks left and right?
You know, I want the ability to be able to go back. You know, who knows what my spending habits are going to become once I have the ability to fly and rob banks or be invisible.
I just want to be well rested all the time. I want to do like one of those hocus pocus kind of spells.
Mm.
And be like, I'm well rested and I'm always awake and always feel good. Always feel just well slept, you know?
You're recharged then?
Yes.
I mean, you think that if they knew that spell, Sarah Jessica Parker would look more well rested.
Just when you think you heard all the rumors about Tom Brady and Giselle, an interview pops up from 2019 and says this.
She said, you're lucky you married a witch. I'm just a good witch.
People are saying that Giselle is a good witch. That's why Tom Brady hasn't been doing well, and he's done so well in the past.
Yeah, just another reason, another thing that they're going to have to figure out if they're actually truly getting divorced.
If you could cast a spell, because you're a good witch, what would the spell be for? 1-800-330-9999. Patricia?
I would get my car fixed. I have all these tiny little dents everywhere, and it's just not worth it to fix like all those, but there's so many of them, and like there's a few paint scrapes, and it's just a lot.
It's terrible when all those little things add up on your car and you wake up that day and you're now embarrassed about it or you hate it. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Car is always taking on a certain amount of damage. But girl, what are you doing? What's with all these dents? Are people running carriages into it? Do you have angry squirrels in high trees above? Like, what's going on?
No, I have to park at work in a spot that's like, this lot was built before modern cars.
Yeah.
So everybody's just always backing into each other. There's just tiny dings from everybody's doors. It's really just little things. It's not like a big accident ever happened, but you see it.
Nothing makes me sweat more than small parking spaces. I can't. I already have a hard time with regular size parking spaces fitting my car inside.
Right.
But when I see one that's a little bit too small, it's like I immediately break into a sweat because I know something terrible is about to happen.
The funny thing is I imagine Giselle pulling into the lot now with a land yacht, just, you know, all the kids bouncing out of there. And she pulls up to it and, like, Bewitched. She twinkles her nose, and then the vehicle is perfectly in that spot now.
Definitely.
She can do that for you if you know her.
Oh, she's a good witch.
Jeff, you're a good witch. You can cast any spell you want. What spell are you casting?
I'm casting a spell to be the greatest professional soccer player in the world and as handsome as the most handsome soccer player in the world, because you got money, you got chicks, and you're the best at something in the entire world. And people love you.
This is one of these things that he's thought about.
Yeah.
He's spent time on this, right? He's like, what am I going to do if I win the Powerball when it's $1.3 billion? Oh, I'm going to buy a new soccer player body, and I will be the greatest soccer player.
Like, wow. Cristiano Ronaldo?
Right.
That guy's hot. You know, he gets anybody he wants.
I'm a dude, and I don't watch soccer, all right? Mm. I don't know anything about it.
Very
I know that guy's an attractive dude.
Yeah.
I know.
Worth lots of money.
I do know that.
Yeah.
Those are things that I know.
Brenda, if you could cast a spell right now, what would it be for?
I think I would have to cast a spell to increase the size of my home by about 5 times. I just, you know, when you realize you are completely out of storage space, there's nowhere to put anything. Like, I've hit that point. So I need a little spell to give me more space.
Mm. Yes.
Or shrink your stuff.
I'm like, while I'm at it, we could refinish the countertops. Like, there's a few other things that I think could be included in the spell.
Yeah.
Okay. So beautify
like
the house.
Home improvement.
Right.
I would like to pick up my house if I could cast a spell. Pick it up and move it like 7 miles over.
Yeah.
Just to a different area. But I would like to just keep my same house. Is that a possibility? Probably not.
I mean, I wish it was.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Certainly would be nice. Cassie, you can cast a spell. Who are you casting it or what's it for?
That's a great question. If I could cast a spell on anybody. I mean, right now I have a newborn at home, so I would love to cast a spell so he would just sleep.
Oh, wow.
Because I think I've gotten like 2 or 3 hours in the last couple nights.
If you could figure out that spell, we could make billions of dollars.
Right?
I can't wait for your magical night when you actually get it, when you wake up 8 hours later and you wake up in a panic because you think something terrible has happened.
Right.
Good idea? Or bad idea? It's Anna and Raven.
Do you think this is a good idea or a bad idea? Nutrition advocates are petitioning the Food and Drug Administration. For what? Here is the lady from the internet explaining.
Several nutrition advocate organizations have been petitioning the FDA to use its authority to establish a simple, standardized, and mandatory front-of-package labeling system for all packaged foods sold in the U.S. They believe the United States should make labels really simple and clear on the front of the package like they do in several other countries.
My wife brought this up to me the other day. So the whole premise is basically that they need to bond up this money and pass this so that it's a regulation so that they will move the nutrition labels from the side of the package or the back of the package to the front of the package.
Yeah, and they'll be color-coded that, like, red, this is bad for you. Yellow, this is okay. Green, like, thumbs up. Eat all the lettuce.
I mean, this is crazy.
Like,
we're dumbing things down to the point here where we just don't trust ourselves as human beings. And that's the fact, is that if we don't trust ourselves, why are we even making these things, right?
Internet lady goes further explaining.
They believe the widespread availability, affordability, and marketing of these processed and ultra-processed foods and drinks have led to poor diets that lead to increased cases of obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, and chronic diseases.
Well, and yes, okay, all that is true.
Lower the cost on organic then, and I think most of us would probably prefer to eat better.
Well, it's funny you should say that because this made me laugh out loud when I heard this. All right, go ahead, Internet lady.
They say it's happening because consumers don't have time when they're at the grocery store to be detectives and search for the label on a package and figure this stuff out.
So I am so torn on this because I'm like, I don't have time to be a detective.
Right.
Who can't find a nutrition label on a package if you just look for it?
I mean, I think it's generally known that lettuce is better for you than, let's say, buffalo wings, right? Or a bag of M&Ms or Fritos or whatever. I think those things are known. The question is whether or not we're going to stop eating those bad things regardless, right?
Well, funny you should say that.
Why is that?
Because at first I heard this and I was like, this is ridiculous. We really have to put the labels on the front and make it like a big deal saying this is bad for you. Then I thought about the time that I went to Cheesecake Factory. And it's when some Cheesecake Factories, depending on what state you are, mandate that they put the calories on each dish. I think maybe they all do them now. The first time I sat down at Cheesecake Factory and I ordered my favorite salad, which is like the barbecue chopped salad, that I thought I was being some kind of health
nut. So healthy.
Oh, I was like, I'm going to eat this and look like Beyonce. I was relatively certain. Every time I went there, I would get it. Hold the fried onions, because, you know, I mean, that's it.
Let me be a health guru.
And I saw that it was 1,480 calories.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. The salad I eat to be healthy is 1,480 calories. Let me tell you something. I don't order that salad anymore.
No, what do you order, though? You don't go there and not eat. So I'm sure that you go there and you order something else that's ridiculous, too, because you figure, well, the salad was just as ridiculous, so now I can have the other thing. Am I right?
I actually order the Skinnylicious tacos, which are 800 calories, but that's they're also delicious.
And then do you have dessert?
Well, yes, of course. Who goes to Cheesecake Factory doesn't have dessert? But so I've been going back and forth on this, wondering, like, is this a good idea or a bad idea? And I will tell you, as dumb as it sounds, like, we can't be detectives enough to flip that thing over and look at what the calorie intake and all that is.
Yeah.
I do think if it was glaring in my face and it was a big red mark, I think I would be more hesitant to buy it because I would feel guilty.
I mean, I don't want you to take any offense to this, but when you say that, I want you to realize that you're just a big dumb animal, right? I mean, if that's the case, if you need that, if you need red light means bad, green light means go. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, if you need that on your food, you're just a big dumb animal.
If you want to shame me to not buy the Oreos this week, you know what? Go ahead. Shame me. It might work.
Anna and Raven's hell of a story.
It's a hell of a story. You want to share your story too? Head to annaandraven.com. Jen, tell us your story.
Well, my amazing story is I decided to donate a kidney to a former kindergarten student of mine.
This is incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. I think other people tell me it's incredible, and I'm like, yeah, it's not a big deal. But I guess giving away an organ, I guess, could be a big deal.
To the person that needs it, it's everything.
Totally a big deal. It was everything. I didn't jump into it lightly, but yep, she was a former kindergarten student of mine, and I stayed friendly with her. The donation actually happened. The surgery happened when she was in her early 20s, but we remained close. We remained friendly, and so she reached out. She was looking for donors. Family members stepped up, but unfortunately weren't able to donate for a variety of reasons. So I went ahead, got tested, and I was a match.
Wow.
I mean, I think about how great my kindergarten teachers were. And who knows if I had stayed in contact with them, what that would have been like, what that relationship would have came into.
You think they also would have given you a kidney?
I mean, they're just some of the nicest people, right? They have such an impact on the rest of your life, but you don't think that they're going to save your life.
So, Jen, how did it work? Do you go together in the hospital? I imagine you have to hold hands walking into the hospital doors. I don't know. How does it work?
Well, we didn't hold hands because we did go into two separate ORs, but we were together kind of in the beginning. We did take a couple of pictures before we went in for surgery. I mean, I went through a battery of tests just to make sure that I was healthy, to make sure my kidney was healthy. But once everything worked out, we went to surgery. She was in surgery a little longer than I was, but it was easy recovery. Yeah, we, you know, definitely spent some time together before, and then we were in the hospital. I got to go home. I was only in the hospital for one night. She stayed a little bit longer, but we definitely had some moments after surgery, hung out together.
endured some pain. People made us laugh, and boy, that was not fun. We were in a lot of pain, and people were making us laugh.
I can't imagine, like, you donate a kidney and you go home the next day.
Right.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah. The surgery is so much. I think people hear kidney donation and they think, I think back in the day, it was definitely a harder surgery on the donor. But times have changed and it's really easy. It was done laparoscopically. I was up walking around the next day. I stayed one overnight. I was home and, you know, a little sore, but I was definitely feeling good. I think that's for me why sometimes when people say, oh, but God, that's an amazing story. I'm like, no, it was easy. It was a piece of cake. It was that big of a deal.
It really is. And what did she say? Like when you said to her, you know what? I'll give you mine. You need one? I got an extra kidney right here. It's all yours.
The family was very, very excited. You know, I didn't get tested right away. There was definitely a few months kind of went by because I think I had to wrap my head around it. I think deep down, I knew if I got tested, I would be the match. So I think I had to kind of get my head in the game. But once I got tested, they were very excited. They were always a little leery because you never know if going through the process, you will get told you can't do it, whether it's for your own health reasons or the kidney's not a viable kidney. So I think everyone was always on pins and needles just until that actual surgery date is there and you're actually in the hospital waiting to go into the operating room because at any point, you know, something could happen and that you might not be a donor. So everybody was on pins and needles. But once it happened, she was beyond the moon happy.
Jen, you're right. That's a hell of a story.
It's amazing to me that you felt faded about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing with us.
We want to hear your hell of a story, too. Go to annaandraven.com. What are the best fast food French fries? I mean, everybody has an opinion on this, but what happens if you bring in a real chef and you give him a blind taste test? That's exactly what we're doing.
Chef Plum, how do you feel?
I'm sitting in your studio with a blindfold over my eyes. Like, I really can't see anything. This is what you guys do to me. Like, I like to think I've had a nice career and I've done some great things. And you guys call me, hey, come in. And I come in, you put a blindfold on me.
I mean, you go on the Food Network. When you go to the Food Network, do they blindfold you, make you taste French fries? Nope.
No.
Before we do the taste test, I think something that a lot of people struggle with is reheating French fries. Yeah. Because if you don't eat them right away out of the bag, then they get nasty.
You mean out of the bag, like on the way home?
Right. Yes.
Right. Got it. Yeah, reheating French fries is always a difficult thing. Tater tots, French fries, anything crispy you get that's fried. I mean, if you get it to go, what happens is, especially in restaurants, they put it in those clamshell container boxes and the steam creates in the box and puts moisture on things that are crispy, makes them not crispy anymore. Same thing with French fries. The best way to reheat them, put them on a sheet pan and put them in an oven. It's 500 degrees. That's what I would do. Or if you really want to get fancy with it, you can put some oil in a pan and refry them.
Okay.
Air fryer will get that done for me too, right? If I throw them in there?
Air fryer work for sure. I feel like when I'm saying these things, you guys are making fun of me because I can't see you.
No, we're not. I just like that you're moving around the microphone and I'm like, I wonder if it's picking him up because he can't even see the mic. All right.
He's talking like he's Stevie Wonder singing.
Yeah. All right. Do I feed you like a king, like feeding grapes? Is that
I could do it if you just tell me where to go.
Right.
Let's start with this one.
I love French fries and we're going to eat these right now.
I feel like I can tell by looking at them. But they must taste delicious here reheated.
Okay, these French fries have a little less crunch to it. Those are going to be Wendy's.
No,
not Wendy's French fries.
Not Wendy's French fries.
Which ones are they?
Okay, let me. I have one more guess.
Yeah.
Those are the new Burger King fries.
Yes.
Wow.
They are the new Burger King fries. Which, for the record, I don't like the new ones. I like the old ones better.
I thought they might have been the Wendy's ones, because the Wendy's ones sometimes have those sharp points on the end of them.
Yes.
But so do the new Burger King fries. I was a toss-up between the two, but I should have guessed without the salt. So
I think I know what he's doing right now here. He's trying to eliminate other guesses from the other ones. Stop talking, Plum. Shove another French fry in your mouth.
For the record, he doesn't know which four fast food restaurants I've selected.
No, well, he didn't tell me.
Wouldn't make much sense if you did.
Okay. All right.
All right, next one.
This one's going to be tricky.
Oh, boy. Unmistakable. This is Arby's.
No!
What?
No!
Really?
Those are Popeye's Cajun fries.
They taste very similar to Arby's curly fries.
Arby's curly fries are delicious.
Yeah.
They
very,
are.
Very similar. You should taste these. They're delicious.
No, we're just handing them to nobody.
There's nobody sitting there.
All right. Now remember, you have to eventually decide which ones are best.
And these here, these are shoestring fries, as they call them. Almost missed my mouth. Easy, McDonald's fries.
Those are definitely McDonald's fries, yes.
definitely McDonald's fries.
I like them heavily salted. If they're salted, those are the best, in my opinion.
It's the only fries that I like with ketchup. Here, try this last
really?
One. Yeah.
For some reason, the McDonald's fries are the only ones I'll eat with ketchup.
I remember as a kid, we would dip those fries into a chocolate milkshake.
Yes. Oh, we still do that.
I will dip them into anything.
Okay. These are connected a lot. Okay. Oh, man. Okay. These, a little more salt on them. They have those sharp points on the very end of them as well. These have to be Wendy's fries.
Those are the Wendy's fries, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right, so years solid. Of training, experience, cooking for some of the biggest names in the world,
Chef Blum. Maintaining my Adonis-like figure as I travel and eat on the road.
Right, which is, in fact, the best reheated fast food French fry.
It's got to be the Popeye's fries.
Really?
Those were delicious reheated. They work. They hold up. I could eat those again.
Wow.
He likes a little spice.
Oh, that's fascinating.
I like the spice on them. I do. The McDonald's fries, in my opinion, probably the worst ones.
Oh.
So sad.
Can I take this blindfold off now?
You can take the blindfold off, yes.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
What'd you do this week to earn your margarita? Doesn't matter if you're a mom or you're a dad or if your kids are human or animals. It's never easy to be in charge of anything. 1-800-330-9999. Kevin.
Well, I'm going to have a dad bourbon tonight because since Monday, me, my wife, and my two-year-old have all been sick. Everybody's well, early morning, late night, and I'm ready to go to have my bourbon.
Yes.
Good for you, huh?
Absolutely.
That's a tough week to survive.
Oh, when one goes down and then everybody goes down in the house, it's just never ending.
Yeah, and the tough, I mean, parents, you have to keep going.
Right.
Somebody has to soldier on. Let's be honest. Most of the time in my house, okay, every time, that would be my wife. But you, sir, you did it. You kept going. Enjoy your bourbon.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Maria, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
So I'm my son's team manager for his baseball team, and I had to tell the coach that three of the kids are going to quit.
I mean, that stinks. Like, first of all, as a parent, why would you put another parent in that position and not just go to the coach yourself?
You know, you don't want to tell the coach face-to-face that your child has lost the will to compete, has lost the will to show up.
Hayden's soccer team, my older daughter, and school, theater, they make us sign a contract at the beginning of the school year when she starts in theater and at the beginning of the soccer season that they will stay with the team, they will stay with the theater arts and the play until the end of the season or the end of the school year. And I thought that's so smart because it teaches the kids accountability. Like, you can't quit. Once you agree to do this, like, you're part of a team. You're part of a cast. You have to stick through with it.
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, too, it just makes sure that the production goes on.
Right.
I mean, it takes a lot to put together games and teams, and they've got to feel the team versus the other team and all that. And the same thing with a production. I mean, imagine if you went through five actors for one role in one season.
Right. I'm sure that used to happen all the time. Well, you enjoy that margarita. I'm glad I don't have to be there when you have that conversation with the coach.
Thank you.
Bethany, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
So I tell my kids to make their bed every day, and they never listen, and I always end up being the one that does it for them. So I decided to do a little social experiment, and it's been 2 weeks. I've not made their beds, and neither have they. They've gone unmade for 2 weeks, and nobody said anything about it.
Wow.
And do you think that that's success or failure? I want to know, what's your mindset after that?
You know, nobody said anything and the world continued, so I guess that's a success. But I do feel a little bit of a failure that nobody even noticed when my work didn't get done, you know?
Or they didn't pick up on they need to do it either. You're raising slightly less good humans at this point.
No, I think that they... Now, here's the question I have. Do you think they even... realize, because my husband is one of those guys that he is meticulous. The bed must be made every single day, and he makes it for the girls too, because I'm already at work in the morning when they get up. Yeah, I know, it's really sweet, but it's funny because every once in a while when he's running late and I get home and the beds aren't made, I like freak out, and it's not even me that does it, you know.
But the world's ending. Did he leave me? Is today the day that he made that choice?
He's gone,
right?
He left. But I think, like, Hayden, if you didn't make her bed, I don't think she would. I think, like, your kids, like, she wouldn't say a word.
No.
She'd just never make it.
Most kids aren't going to care. That's why it's a chore. That's why we make them do it, to learn some sort of discipline.
Well, you enjoy that margarita. What did you miss this week on the show? It was busy. First, there was Wellness Wednesday. Now, Ryan Seacrest said that his secret to being, like, unbelievably healthy and always having energy to do a million different shows is that he takes one tablespoon of olive oil every morning, raw.
Every secret. Some secrets are meant to be exposed, Anna. Others, not so much.
Yeah, so we decided to try it ourselves.
It's a full spoon, Sean.
It's not a full spoon.
All right, we're not going to yell about the olive oil. Let's just do it because we want to live forever like Ryan Seacrest. No. On your mark, get set, go three, go, go. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
It's just as bad as we thought. Yeah. I thought it was going to be delicious.
Oh, so gross.
Oh, my God.
Terrible. Shame you, Ryan Seacrest. Shame you.
We got to end the break. We have never dumped out of a break so fast in our lives.
I got to tell you, I mean, that stuck with me for like half a day after that. It just, I did not feel good.
No.
I kept tasting it.
I can't go into detail because it's disgusting.
Yeah.
But I was violently ill later on.
Okay.
I don't understand. If you go to YouTube and you search like the benefits of olive oil raw like that.
Yeah.
So many doctors talk about how great it is.
Those are fake doctors.
I was so sick.
No.
Also on the show. For Amazon, we test things from Amazon. We see if they actually work. And I had bought a fog machine for $14 from China.
Seems like a fire hazard.
But it was important to me because I needed it to be part of my Halloween decorations at my house. Now, did it work? So, if the fog machine works, I want you to agree, Raven, we officially can kick off a Halloween season and I can be a witch and use my witch's voice.
I mean, it's not like I have a choice.
All right, Sean, we're very excited here. Our fingers are crossed. We want to know, does the fog machine work so I can finally unveil my witch's scream for the month of October and Halloween?
The fog machine works!
Spray it. Let me hear it.
It's so cool. Hold on here. I'm going to put it up to the phone.
So you're telling me that once I put this in my witch's cauldron, there will be potions and spells coming out, correct?
Yes, it looks like that. Definitely.
Why? So much pleasure you take.
Oh, my gosh, it is here. Halloween is here. It was so enjoyable, and I'm so excited.
It's as grating as it is the second time as it is the first.
No.
Unnecessary.
I only get to do it. It's the only time the whole year they let me do my witch's voice on the air.
Wake me up when November gets here.
And also, there was the trending One Thing About Me. That's a Nicki Minaj song from Super Freaky Girl, where you basically take the opening lyrics of One Thing About Me, and then you rap something about you.
Yeah, I kicked it.
Raven really thought he did a great job, and it got a little uncomfortable.
Mm. To make sure I don't pass out when I'm driving my car, I catch extra Z's while chilling at my hive at the bar. Got a comfy blankie, shows to stream, use my puppy as a pillow so I get furry dreams. Solicitors at my door trying to ruin my sleep. On applications, I write Titanic because I'm going down deep. Smoking.
Wow, okay.
I'm sweating.
I stopped listening.
I'm literally sweating.
After you said furry dreams,
it got real weird.
It got real weird
I didn't mean furry. I meant kind of like fuzzy.
Yeah. I mean, you said what you said.
Yeah. It was real awkward. Real awkward.
Well, you know what? That's the thing about art, right? It's for your interpretation, so you'll just have to wonder what it is. There'll be plenty other controversial lyrics on my upcoming hip-hop album.
If you missed any of the show this week, check out our podcast page at annaandraven.com.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Becca and James. All right, James, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
Well, Becca has this coworker, and you know what? Good guy. I don't have anything truly negative against him, except for one thing. He just can't stop flirting with Becca. Can't stop flirting with my girl. He knows we're together. At first, it was kind of like a running joke, but as time has gone on, the texting has become more and more frequent to the point where now it's constant. Hey, let's go to the movies. Hey, let's go to dinner. Hey, let's do all this stuff. I would be okay with it if it was like a group thing. All I want to do is just tell this man myself, like, I want you to stop. I want you to relax. I can't tell if you're joking or not anymore because this is getting a bit excessive. Mm. It's been a year. I've been dating her for a year. Have a little bit of respect for my relationship. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. Becca, what's going on?
Well, Mark is kind of my work husband. It's completely harmless, and I show James all the texts. It's not secretive. If he asks me to go for lunch or whatever, I'm always just like, no, of course not. You know I'm with someone, and I handle it. So I understand why he's frustrated, but I really can't have him calling him or saying anything because this is my work life and I have to work with him every single day. So I don't want to cause drama. Like, I just feel like I can handle it myself.
Well, I've got strong feelings on this. I'm going to let you talk first, Anna, so I can try and calm down over here.
I don't know if I have as strong feelings. So I understand where Becca's coming from. If you say it's harmless, I can only believe it's harmless. I would be annoyed, and I would certainly say something, and it would be problematic. I also know that, like, you don't want to stir the pot at work either. And if he's just, like, the problem is when you hide behind the nice guy. He's a nice guy. He's harmless. You know, I also see James's point. Like, leave my girlfriend alone.
Hey, harassment is harassment. It offends me to think that because you're a woman, you have to worry about not stirring the pot at work. If you're truly not annoyed by it, then I guess it is harmless. This is the way that you guys joke and talk with each other. On the other hand, if it's been ramping up and you're tired of it at this point, then it's harassment. And frankly, it's an HR issue. It's almost better if your boyfriend does say, I don't want to make it a thing because I know you guys get along good. But this is troublesome. This is too much at this point.
But coming from him, doesn't it seem like it's, I don't know, like my boyfriend's coming in to save the day?
But have you told him no? You've said no on the dates and the invites, but have you told him?
Oh, yeah. I've shown him all those texts.
But no. Have you told your work husband, stop with this
nonsense?
Oh,
yeah, every day. Yeah.
Think about that, though. Think about that, Becca. You have to tell him every day to stop? Like, look, I understand, and I am not trying to be a knight in shining armor. I'm not trying to be, like, the boyfriend that saves the day. You know I'm not trying to do that, Becca. The thing that I'm trying to do is trying to figure out what is this guy's deal is, you know? Yeah. It just because it's been a year, and it's every day. He even texts you today, right?
Mm.
But he is my friend.
Yeah. See, that's the problem is I think that Becca has a hard time because she likes him. He's like, not like she likes him like that, but it's her buddy. It's her work husband. I understand that. But let's see what the audience has to say because they may agree with you, James. It's time for you to step in and say something and kind of put an end to it. But they may see Becca's point, too. This is her battle to fight, and she doesn't want to. It's harmless. He's a good guy. You know, sure, is it annoying? Yeah, but it's really annoying James more than it's annoying anybody else.
Just the thing is like when it's so relentless, is do they stay a good guy? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Becca and James have been dating for about a year, and Becca has this coworker that she refers to as her work husband. But he is constantly flirting with her, sends her texts, asks her out, and she always laughs it off and tells him no. And James has known about it. It's not a surprise or a secret, but he's just about had enough of this guy.
Well, I mean, now it's happening every single day, right? I mean, this flirting, all that, it was good-natured early on. Kind of thought it was a joke. You know, he's aware that she has a boyfriend. But, you know, every day now, hey, do you want to go to the movies? Hey, do you want to go to lunch? Hey, do you want to go to dinner? And it's always a plan that excludes any partners or potential people that the work husband is dating. So obviously it implies that we're going to spend alone time together. That's weird.
And what do you think? James wants to get involved, but Becca does not. What do you think they should do? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Melissa, whose side are you on?
I'm on the boyfriend's side. Now, I don't think he should say something just because this does involve her work and, you know, I don't know how her job is or anything, but I am on his side. If this guy has been pursuing her for a year, despite her telling her to leave her alone, then this work husband is not a nice guy, and it's inappropriate at this point.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. Becca and James have been dating for an entire year, and James thought it was harmless that one of Becca's coworkers that she calls her work husband would flirt with her. They would laugh about it, and she would show James the texts. But now, it's kind of relentless, and James wants to get involved and tell him, back off my girlfriend.
Yeah, early on, it wasn't that big of a deal. It seemed like it was a passing thing. Maybe they were even joking, trying to bust stones. But now, he's asking her out all the time. Let's go to the movies. Let's go for lunch. Let's go for dinner. And it always excludes any partners from them. James is never invited. He wants Becca to tell him to stop, or he's happy to handle it himself.
What do you think? Should he get involved, or should he just let her handle it? She says it's harmless. 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, but in a slightly different way. She needs to put an end to this. For respect for her boyfriend, she needs to step up, because right now, it looks like she has no respect for her boyfriend.
to put the end to her work husband situation, making him uncomfortable.
It's an interesting point. You know, we're thinking about whether or not she's offended. He's clearly offended. So we should take his opinion and his thoughts and his feelings into consideration.
John, whose side are you on?
I'm on James's side because he needs to really think about if he even wants to be with her anymore, because if it's bothering him that much and she's worried about offending the work husband, which is even a crazy term, you know, you got to wonder if she's the right girl for you.
Kim, whose side are you on?
I'm 100% on his side. I feel that he needs to take care of it. Talk to the person, tell him to cut it out. There's no such thing as a work husband. They've been together a year. Her telling him no, to me, is just like flirting. And either she tells him to stop, or definitely, or he tells him.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
James, our audience agreed with you. Becca, people felt like maybe him just sending a message being like, hey, stop texting my girlfriend or stop calling my girlfriend or leave my girlfriend alone may be enough for him to see that there's boundaries and hopefully you're not going to lose a friend or, you know, a work husband, but he'll just understand that he is crossing the line and he'll back off.
Okay. I hope I can, you know, proofread what he's going to write so it's not really like a rage crazy kind of text, though.
That seems fair.
Yeah, can do it together, maybe.
Sure, sure. And listen, you can proofread it. You can get a witness, you know, to make sure. We can get a notary, even if you'd like. I'm not going to rage out on the guy because I understand, you know. but at the same time, there has to be a little bit of respect for the other people in your life, too. Like, you know, he knows me.
Yeah, no, so, hey, listen, don't pull back and not speak directly just because you don't want to ruffle feathers. Proofread it, share the message with each other, but it's got to be firm and it's got to make sense because you want to have that conversation one time. One time.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I want to make myself 100% clear.
That's right.
About how I feel because, you know, I have a life, too. I'm involved in this, too, somehow. So I just want to make sure that everything's cool.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $800. Rosanna, you ready to play?
I am ready to play.
Oh, right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Rosanna.
Okay. Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. We'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Ready.
All right, let's take him down today. Number one, 48-year-old Hilary Swank announced that she's pregnant with twins and she's wanted children for a long time. She's won 2 Oscars, one in 2000 for the movie Boys Don't Cry, and another one in 2005 for when she played an amateur boxer. What was that movie called?
Oh, my God. It was with Clint Eastwood.
Time. Number 2, Tia Mowry and Corey Hardwick announced their divorce this week. Tia starred with her sister Tamara in what 1990s TGIF sitcom? Number 3, the new Barney documentary shows the dark side of the children's series. What's the name of Barney's best friend, the Triceratops?
Johnson.
Just cracking yourself up over there. Number 4, another American Pie movie is in the works at Universal. The first American Pie was originally giving an NC-17 rating. What does the NC stand for in NC-17?
Not clear.
No child. Okay. Number 5, a viral video shows that the reason why pens have small holes in the cap is because it's an air hole if the cap ever gets stuck in someone's throat. What writing company started as mainly permanent markers but expanded to all writing utensils and uses the slogan "Write Out Loud"?
Sharpie.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
I got one, I think.
Yo!
It's like 1.5. I don't know.
No, that sounds like nonsense.
I feel like I got... I'm just going to give you two because I feel like a good person today. All right?
I think you're overtired. $800. Here we go.
Number one, 48-year-old Hillary Swank announced that she's pregnant with twins and she's wanted children for a long time. She's won two Oscars, one in 2000 for Boys Don't Cry and one in 2005 for when she played an amateur boxer. What was that movie called?
It's Million Dollar Baby.
Yes. Number two, Tia Mowry and Corey Hardrick announced their divorce this week. Tia starred with her sister Tamara in what 1990s TGIF sitcom?
It was Sister Sister.
Yes. Number three, the new Barney documentary shows the dark side of the children's series. What's the name of Barney's best friend, the Triceratops?
Isn't it Baby Bop?
Baby Bop, yes. Mm-hmm, nice. I think you know that one.
Oh, my God.
It's not Johnson. Triceratops.
Yeah. She said it was Johnson.
No.
No.
Not Johnson.
Number four, another American Pie movie is in the works at Universal.
Oh, boy.
The first American Pie was originally given an NC-17 rating. What does NC stand for in NC-17?
No children.
No children. She said no child, which I think is close enough.
Yeah, it's close.
Number five, a viral video shows that the reason why pens have small holes in the caps is because it's an air hole if the cap ever gets stuck in someone's throat.
Good idea.
What writing company started as mainly permanent markers but expanded to all writing utensils and uses the slogan "Write Out Loud"?
It's Sharpie.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Rosanna. He got all five. He beat you 5-1.5. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you very much. And I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. When we get back Monday, Anna, $900.